Rodgers under center. Play action pass. Rolling to his right. Fires off the back foot. Calvin Austin. Touchdown, Pittsburgh Steelers. The play action pass. He gets Austin in the right portion of the end zone for the touchdown pass. Fourth of the day for Aaron Rodgers.
Thank you to Steelers Radio Network for that. I don't think that the Steelers really wanted Aaron Rodgers to have to carry them yesterday, but they did. Both defenses, both the Steelers and the Jets, leaving a bit to be desired in what became kind of a shootout of a game. Although ultimately the Steelers defense did put an exclamation point at the end with the Jets driving with a minute left to try to take the lead. Could have won the game on a field goal. But Jalen Ramsey hit Garrett Wilson so hard, he just dropped the ball and would have been a first down and would have kept the drive going. But ultimately, Aaron Rodgers won, Jets nothing in the big revenge game, Pearl.
Yeah, so a friend of the show, Dr. Rock Positano, renowned foot doctor, wanted to do a victory tour, and he was very adamant last night to me. He said that Aaron Rodgers would get on our show, and he played me the clip, would get healthier and more confident in his Achilles, and would take exactly 2 years from the injury. And you saw it. You saw it at the last week of last season, and you saw it this week. Obviously, he's a different player. He's just a completely physically a different player than he was last year, and I think that has to do with recovering from the Achilles. He looked completely comfortable back there, throwing to God knows who, but he just looked like the old Rodgers to me. He wasn't very mobile, but he still looked like the old Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the arm talent's never going to go away, but there was a poise element to what they had that Rodgers displayed, which, you know, I'm not surprised at all, but you could tell how much they, again, were kind of leaning on him to sort of, like, be the difference maker. I mean, the Steelers scored 14 points in the 56 seconds between closing the third quarter and the beginning of the fourth quarter. It was a Jaylen Warren touchdown, but then a fumble recovery that set up the Rodgers to Calvin Austin connection, and that was the highlight you just heard, the 31-26 lead. To me, like, this is fine for Rodgers and the Steelers. They walk away with a win, most important thing. The whole, like, revenge aspect of it, like, why does Rodgers have to be so extra with all this stuff? Like, you were barely a Jet. You were barely a Jet. You got hurt the first year. The second year was totally unforgettable. You get run out of town. Everyone gets fired. But, like, in Jets land, that's just like any other Wednesday. Like, that happens all the time. Guys get fired. The owner's a disaster. All that stuff. So Rodgers, like, talking about how, oh, I just, you know, I wanted to beat everybody, and how, you know, after the game, of course, after a win, he makes it that this was some kind of huge revenge game.
It's just, I don't,
like,
know. He just made fun of it. I totally disagree. First of all, it's incredible how history repeats itself. A guy leaves the Jets and his passer rating goes up by between 20 and 60% immediately. He's going to have Brett Favre leaving the Jets going to Minnesota here. He's going to throw 35 touchdowns. He'll be in the MVP race.
I didn't even know that was possible in an Arthur Smith offense. I mean, he had four touchdowns yesterday, but here's
35 is not a ton, by the way. He already has four in the first week. He's going to be a productive quarterback. He called the Jets and said, hey, I want to play, and they said no. Luckily for the Jets, Justin Fields looked great too. So otherwise, though, this would be egg on the face of the Jets. Why not? Why are you blaming Rodgers?
Well, here's what I'm talking about, though. Manny, can I hear cut one, please? Rodgers responding to a question about how good it feels to beat Aaron Glenn and the Jets. Remember, Aaron Glenn and Rodgers had a big powwow where Rodgers says Glenn didn't even try to get to know him, basically threw him out of his office.
Beating him, is there significance in that, since he basically told you to your face that he didn't think you were right for that team?
Yes, that's what he did.
So there's significance in beating him for you?
I was happy to beat everybody associated with the Jets.
I said, you don't know me. And he said, you don't know me. And then I said, exactly.
Well, Maggie, that's not exactly blowing up in that. I mean, he didn't call out Glenn specifically, which is nice, I guess.
Okay, more from Aaron Rodgers. Says it was good to remind the Jets he can still play.
It was nice to win, especially, you know, hearing some of the cat calls out there. And the boo birds, you know, I'm not sensitive about that. I expected that, you know, I kind of like that, but, there were probably people in the organization, didn't think I could play anymore. So it was nice to remind those people that I still can.
Listen, I said, you don't know me.
To the victor goes the spoils.
Yeah.
34-13, but they did score 17 points in the fourth quarter. The one thing about Rodgers is, you know, and he's not saying this, I'm saying this. this can't be your Super Bowl. That's not what this is about for Pittsburgh. This is about him being the difference in them being a playoff team that gets blown up in the wild card round or a playoff team that actually can win a playoff game. And to be honest and be fair to Rodgers, like, that's what he's brought in to do.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. Like, that wasn't Joe Namath guaranteeing a Super Bowl win over the Colts. That was just sort of answering the questions. I thought that was pretty low key. I'm not sure. How did you describe it? Like, this victory tour. You're saying in NFL speak, that's a victory tour? Because, I mean, obviously, like, it was nice to beat them. I don't think remember Aaron Rodgers got to New York and said that Lombardi trophy looks lonely? He's given none of that to Pittsburgh. He hasn't mentioned being even a contender once. This year feels like gravy for him, right? Like, he's like, I'm going to retire. Let's see what happens. You think, has he mentioned the word Super Bowl once in Pittsburgh?
So it changed a little bit. You'll remember the offseason, and I forgive fans if you're not following the every little moment of this like we are. We're super locked in on it. But yes, Rodgers was downplaying everything when he first arrived. And then Pat McAfee showed up in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, and it was like they were having the Super Bowl coronation show. They did start talking about they all started feeling themselves. I'm just saying that nothing that Rodgers did yesterday, this is all like fine and good that you got the win. So I'm not begrudging you that because this division's going to be hard. But the Rodgers story only matters if they actually win a playoff game, at the very least. You're saying it's all gravy. I don't agree with you.
Aaron Rodgers throws 4 touchdowns in his season opener, 0 interceptions against a team that cut him, basically. And you don't think that's worth celebration? Like, that's like Rodgers should be actually much louder in celebration. He should drive to the facility and show him the box score. I don't know. I'm not quite sure what that's about. Like, if that was any other situation, I think most people would be like, a lot of people don't like Rodgers, but if this was Sam Darnold going against the Vikings, everyone would be like, oh my God, did you see what he just did? I thought Rodgers was relatively low key for what he could have been.
Well, he hasn't appeared on McAfee yet. Just wait. We get Tuesday. We're going to get the follow-up. And this is probably not the last we've heard of it because Rodgers can't help himself. Like, he should probably just turn the page, but I don't think he's going to because he revels in this kind of thing. And listen, if you like petty, that's great. Steph Curry calls himself the petty king. Like, it's you.
How is that petty? I mean, like, if you want to see petty, if I was in that situation, I would have been tearing Aaron Glenn a new one.
The dude basically called
him out. He said, come to New York so we can cut you in person.
And how do we know that? Because Rodgers told us he could have just moved on. There was no public, like, Aaron Glenn didn't come out and be like, so Aaron Rodgers just was in my office and I told him, get the hell out of here. Like, we only know because Rodgers made it a thing. Rodgers just needs he needs to create a story, you know?
This is not creating a story. This is a story. This would be, if it was any other quarterback, you'd be like, oh my God, did you see that? I just think it's because of all this back stuff with Rodgers, you're downplaying it. There's no creating a story. The Jets cut him. He went in there in their home field and scored 34 points on a Pittsburgh offense and never scores 34 points.
I hear you. I don't think that Rodgers was there long enough. Well, yeah, maybe he feels a certain type of way because they cut him, no doubt. But arguably, he ends up in a way better situation because at least Pittsburgh is likely a playoff team. And the other part, too, is Rodgers also has to take some accountability for why things went wrong in New York. Like, it's not his fault he tore his Achilles. That's not what I'm talking about. But he wanted the guys he wanted. He wanted the offensive coordinator he wanted. He needed his guys. They trade for Devontae Adams in a lost season. They made all these, they acquiesced in so many ways. He's flirting with whether or not he wants to be the vice president nominee. Like, Rodgers also, you know, I never give any credit to the Jets because I think they will find the banana peel and step on a rake no matter what happens. But Rodgers should also take a little accountability for how things went badly in New York.
Things went badly because he was limping for the entire first half of the season. Things went badly because of his leg. I don't think that all that off-field stuff probably would have gotten them eventually, but like he just was not... He couldn't move at all until about week 9. And then finally he got his legs underneath him and it was way too late. I don't think the vice president stuff, I understand. Like, so why wouldn't that be hurting the Steelers now? By the way, that being said, I don't think the Steelers are going to score 34 points a week from here on out. I think this is a bit of an anomaly. They have Seattle, whose defense looked amazing.
Yeah,
next week.
Different.
I feel like Rodgers is going to come back to earth a little bit. And he's old and he does... Can he stay healthy all year? But I feel like if I was Rodgers, I got to be honest, I would have reveled even more. I would have been like, ha ha, Aaron Glenn.
Well, let's Seahawks coming to Pittsburgh next weekend. 1 o'clock game, body clock game. You know, I think that that Seahawks defense is going to be a little bit better. I'm actually surprised the Jets defense wasn't a little better, but I was also pleasantly surprised that the Jets offense was moving the ball. Justin Fields. I mean, talk about a guy who was, you know, left for dead in Chicago, and then I said this at the time, and I thought it yesterday, and I almost hit send on the tweet, which is that the Steelers should have just kept Fields. I thought that. Now, Rodgers scores 4 touchdowns yesterday, but Fields looks like he could salvage his career here in New York. I was really impressed by what I saw.
Actually, I think the two quarterbacks fit better on the teams they're on, because the Jets want to run the ball, and Justin Fields is a great, like, kind of a running quarterback who can really control the ball. Like, that was not working in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, ironically, can't run the ball at all. Like, Jalen Warren's their starting running back. He did not look dangerous in any possible way. So you need to pass. So I think the fit's better. I'm really excited, if I'm a Jets fan, about Justin Fields. But, and I know we have
and
a Jets
fan. And the Fields-Garrett Wilson connection going back to college. It looks like it could work. I don't know if the Jets would be a playoff team. They might be. I don't know.
Ooh. Well, I mean, they're huge underdogs this week against the Bills. I'd be shocked if they were playoff team.
Well, let's see. Yeah. I'm just saying, I don't think it's going to be a throwaway season for the Jets. EJ, we'll give you the floor here for a minute. What do you think? Are the Jets maybe a fringe playoff team this year?
I don't think they're a fringe playoff team because their defense in the back half is too bad. Sauce was amazing yesterday, but the rest of the secondary, they look like they have backups that are starting. I mean, it was Aaron Rodgers had a really good game, and he made me and a lot of Jeff fans eat their words for how he played in that game. He also got a lot of help from a secondary that is just not NFL ready to me. And I don't know if that means they got to go back to younger guys who are on the bench. But that's going to be a problem.
Aaron Glenn. You have a defensive head coach. I mean, you should be able to fix that.
You would think so. And Steve Wilks is a, you know, seasoned defensive coordinator. But I just think there's a talent issue there, clearly. Because, I mean, this wasn't, oh, we're just scheming. Arthur Smith is making these great schemes. I mean, these are guys that are missing open field tackles, guys in completely out of position plays. Like, that's going to be a problem for the Jets. I think the Jets show that offensively they will be able to move the ball, and they have an identity when it comes to running the football. But playoffs?
Do you remember the last time you could say that the Jets had even competent quarterback play?
I know. I mean, it was exciting to see, but I mean, I also can't remember the last time the Jets had a secondary this bad.
Playoffs?
I know there's a lot of Aaron Rodgers victory tour stuff happening today, and he deserves it because he played really well. I really think that the Jets' secondary is a major problem, and I will wonder how the Steelers will look against better defenses. I think the Jets' defense, front four was great. Will McDonald was killing Broderick Jones, and I thought Quinnen Williams played well too, but the secondary is a problem.
Playoffs?
Steelers, 2.5-point favorites at home against Seattle. So obviously the bookmakers are giving a lot of respect to the Seahawks defense.
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers' defense is really a problem too.
I think so too.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, they're anciently old. I mean, Jalen Ramsey, I know he had the big play at the end. Like, he looked a little bit washed to me. I think they had a lot of old guys. I mean, I can't believe how old that team is. Like, how did that happen? All of a sudden, T.J. Watt, Cameron Hayward, Darius Slay, Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Rodgers.
I thought Slay and Hayward particularly looked their age yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, this is like an old folks home in the NFL, which worked with Washington last year, but I don't know if it can work this year.
When I saw that Cam Hayward, who had been going through a not-so-subtle contract dispute with the Steelers over the last few weeks of camp, like the last month, and then he signed for $3 million, which is a ton to a regular person. But I'm like, you guys couldn't come all this a month. Now he looked like, at one point, he looked like he got hurt yesterday. He's holding in, holding out, practicing sometimes, not practicing others. Like, all that over $3 million?
He's 36. I mean, even him being there or not being there, that's really old for that position.
Let's go to the phones. 888-710-4ISN. Get back to the Green Bay Packers and Micah Parsons' debut in just a moment. But JT is in Atlanta. What's up, JT?
Hey, what's going on, Maggie? Oh, yeah, and you too, Perloff. Like, what did that guy mean by that when he said that to you, Maggie? I'm just saying, I just had to give you your side, too. He's like, hey, Perloff, and you too, Maggie. But anyways, I digress.
That's all right.
In regards to this Jets and Steelers game, first off, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers really knows what a cat call is. I don't know if they were like, woohoo! Like, I don't know if that was what was happening out there. But anyways, and another thing that bothers me is that this shuttle pass or shovel pass, that counts. I mean, I guess it's a pass, but it really isn't.
JT, that gets so to me too. JT, I have think about that a lot. A little underhanded handoff that goes forward, you get a 23-yard pass completion out of that. I definitely have an issue.
Oh,
JT.
Oh well, you know who the king of that was at the end in New England was Brady. He would just basically chest pass, like push the ball to, I don't know, James White, whoever it was, and he would get credit for all this yardage when he did literally nothing.
Yeah, yeah. It's basically a handoff. Good point, JT.
Yeah, and then, I wanted to make a point about Fields. I think Fields looked better yesterday than Rodgers ever did as a Jet, especially in activating Wilson. I thought that, you know, there's hope for Wilson now. I didn't know that he could throw the ball. I mean, you knew he could run. But he looked pretty good throwing the ball yesterday, too. Yeah. I think both of them, like you said, look better on the teams that they're on now. But I think Fields definitely looks like he's got a future that he can maybe do something with the Jets. Playoffs, Maggie, I don't know. But they definitely look like they were better than they have been in that offense. That offense has looked horrible the last couple of years with Rodgers. And at least yesterday showed some signs of life.
Yeah.
JT, great call. Thank you for making it.
Maybe
playoffs. But I guess what I was getting at here when I say fringe playoff team is they're going to be a team that maybe wins 8 games. That's going to be fringe playoff in the AFC.
8 games? I don't know.
Probably because the AFC West is going to beat up on each other. We got some evidence of that Friday night in Brazil when the Chargers took it to the Chiefs. I think that the AFC West will beat up. The AFC North is going to beat up on each other. Like, you're going to, who knows what's going to happen? You get one team from the AFC South, most likely.
Well, here's the thing. The Jets next week are their big underdogs against Buffalo, 7.5. And then they go at Tampa Bay. They'll probably be, that's tough because they looked really good on offense. I don't know. Like, they could possibly start out 0-3, and that's a tough hole. They'll probably almost definitely start out 0-2. So you got Miami. They do have some easy games here. But I don't see quite fringe playoff. You know why I actually was supporting Rodgers here?
Why is that?
Because he had that expression he said the boo birds. Like, he's an old man playing NFL. He's like ne'er-do-wellers. Like, he's coming up with old man nincompoops, dingbats. Like, he is definitely like going to use middle-aged men expressions. He said it. He's like, you know why I like Mike Tomlin? Because he's the only one here I can talk to. Because everyone else is too young. I kind of like, he is now like, who was for a long time, us old guys had Tom Brady to look at. Now, maybe Aaron Rodgers, despite some of the other stuff, could be our shining light. Joe Flacco ain't going to be it. So we got Rodgers.
Mike T is the man.
We'll get to Flacco. That Browns-Bengals game. I don't even know what you say about the Browns at this point. I really don't. I really don't. You have to cut the kicker, right?
You cut Dustin Hopkins, the man, this offseason for that guy.
Did Dustin Hopkins sign anywhere? Can you say, oops, my bad, and bring him back?
You might. I have no idea.
You lost that game for a lot of reasons, and Flacco did not look good. But
a missed field goal, a PAT,
a one-point loss.
They've had 35 quarterbacks. All of them were losers.
What was wrong with Flacco? Except when he tried to run, he looked like me running. I didn't think he played that bad.
EJ, you said we should play Mike Tomlin talking about Chris Boswell.
We want to talk about a guy who has some weird things to say about his players and team. And you got to listen to what he said about his kicker who made a 60-yard field goal to win the game.
I can't say enough about Boz. And our kicker is a serial killer, man. He got a low pulse rate. He can't wait to deliver.
He's a what?
Yeah.
He's a serial killer.
It's a great line.
He is, man.
Oh, my God.
Boswell is automatic.
Remember there was like a holdout situation? Or wait, what was the deal? Like, he wanted a new contract this offseason?
Kicker is a serial killer, man.
They had to pay Boswell, among other guys. I was like, what are they talking about? Like, they're worried about paying Chris Boswell? Like, they have Cam Hayward and all these other issues. He's awesome.
I've never seen a kicker look so confident walking into a 60-yarder. And I was like, oh, my God, he's going to drill this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was on the sidelines, helmet in his hand, just like, all right, it's time for me to go. Just walked out there. And I was like, why is he making it look this so easy? And then it was that easy.
You said Boswell? Okay, I'm on my way.
By the way, the new Ravens kicker is an animal, too, by the way.
Yeah. The one, though, Mr. PAT, that actually kind of helped the Bills because they were chasing a point that whole time.
Yeah.
A failed two-point conversion, but...
But he hit 250-yarders. By the way, everybody, it might be because they can break in the K-balls now or something. Like, the field goals are insane right now. Easy.
Three doinks, though, yesterday. I was thinking about you because...
Oh, I love the doink.
I know. And we did a great debate not too long ago about the greatest sound in sports, and you said the doink.
The poll didn't agree with you.
No. Well, one of the doinks went in, Younghoe Koo. Doink went in. I'm like, this guy is amazing. And then, lo and behold, misses a 44-yarder. They could have tied the game for the Falcons and sent it to overtime.
And when I say kicker who struggled, what's the first name that comes to mind?
The dude from the Browns.
Jake Moody.
Jake Moody.
Oh, they didn't get to it.
They didn't draft the guy for the Browns. Jake Moody, they drafted.
In the third round.
Hey, man, you guys laugh at me when I say special teams is awesome.
The other one, like... Did anyone else? There's a Gramatica guy kicking in college. How great is
that? How about that?
That was for South Florida. That was exciting.
That made me feel old.
Yeah.
That made you feel old,
Eddie? That made me feel ancient. Are you kidding me? Martin Gramatica's kid is kicking in college now?
Winning games.
Winning games, beating Florida.
That's a swamp.
Big kicker weekend.
And we had a second spitter. Third spitter now.
I love special teams.
Yeah, Dak spitting.
Had a what?
Jalen Carter spitting. And now you had the guy from Florida, Brandon Bett, also spitting, costing himself, costing his team, rather, keeping a drive alive that led to that Nico Gramatica game-winning chip shot.
People spit in the NFL all the time. The fact that everyone made the Jalen Carter thing into like this huge national controversy was insane.
Pearl, think about the children. Look at what happened. We had a spitter Thursday night in the NFL and then college Saturday afternoon and dudes hawking.
Lamar Jackson attacked a fan. And we're not talking about that. Like Jalen Carter spit on a guy and Lamar Jackson pulled a mouse at the palace. Like, why is that not getting attention?
Well, let's also maybe not have our hands as a fan, you know, break that invisible barrier over the wall. Yeah. But I digress.
Yeah. I totally back Lamar on this one. I have no problem. But
neither
I mean, it's still a little more egregious than one of 14 people spitting on someone in the NFL. What do you think happens in the pile?
Bad stuff. Bad things happen in the pile. Glad I'm not in there.
Perloff, would you rather get punched in the face or spit in the face?
Ooh, spit in the face. 100%.
Oh, you're drunk. What?
You guys ever been punched?
Yes. Are you kidding me?
Oh, geez. Like,
poll question.
Oh, getting spit on the face is one of the most disrespectful things. That's universal.
But it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, but
you got to
protect your soul.
You're getting so disrespected, Maggie. Come on.
I've never been in a fight.
But you got to watch. Like, you don't want to break your jaw. Like when someone, that's why you protect your face. You haven't been in enough bar fights, have you guys?
Well, I haven't been in a fight since I was in high school.
Yeah, you got to be careful getting punched in the face. The eye socket's very sensitive. There's a lot going on up there.
All right, well, okay. Well,
one of my friends got into a fight
once. Yeah, once?
Yeah, girl fight. It was crazy. This one chick pulled up. She went to a different high school and pulled up on our friend. She doesn't even go here. I can tell the story now. I think the statute of limitations has run out on the story.
What is it, 6 years?
Shut up, Manny. Girl from a different high school just pulled up on my friend outside the pizza shop. It was like a movie.
What's the name of the pizza shop? Nah, never mind.
It was called Leroy Pizza.
Damn, closed.
Leroy. Since closed. And what this girl, it was like, didn't even park. Just the car just in the middle of the street. Chick gets out of the passenger seat, just comes for my friend. My other friend, my best friend, put her in a full Nelson, the attacker. In a full Nelson. It was unbelievable. Then a bunch of people jumped in and broke it
up.
Did
your friend deserve it?
No comment. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I'm bound by confidentiality.
I thought you said the statute of limitations was concluded.
Only on some details. Everything else has been redacted.
Very well, then.
888-710-4ISN. Okay, you guys want to talk about your games. Let's go. Aaron Rodgers, what'd you think of his debut yesterday? You're starting to believe that the Steelers could make some noise this season. Plus, we get to Micah Parsons' debut in Green Bay. Spoiler, it went well. Maggie Perloff Show.
I said, you don't know me. And he said, you don't know me. And then I said, exactly.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Remember all that time, Maggie, maybe, I don't know, all spring, all summer that we talked about the Cleveland Browns and Shedeur Sanders? Then we get that on Sunday. I don't even know. That game, I kept coming back to it. It felt like it was in some weird alternate universe where neither team really wanted to win. Like, the Bengals are like, you know what? It's early. We tried to play in the preseason, but we still stink early in the season. The Browns stink. Somebody had to come up with a W, and it was Cincinnati.
I had this game as one of my multi-view games on YouTube, Sunday Ticket.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't understand why the Bengals didn't have more points.
Joe Barrows.
Miles Garrett.
No,
I mean,
Miles Garrett was
destroying them.
I actually wrote it down. We're going to do M&P 500 stock up, stock down. I'm like, Miles Garrett getting paid stock up because
I would say 100% stock down on him because he is so talented and he's going to be stuck there. His initial instinct to get out of Cleveland was absolutely right. Like, he's going to be, he's Joe Thomas. He's never going to win anything.
Well, but he made that calculation. He even said, I'm not going to be doing the Cleveland to Canton thing like Joe Thomas did. And yet here he is, and he took the money. And so, but he was unreal yesterday because the Bengals were actually moving the ball. Ja'Marr Chase, when he catches a football, it's like this, it's so beautiful. It's like he's catching a baby. Everything is so soft. I don't know. Charles is an indie. Charles, I know yesterday was probably a tough watch for you as a Bengal fan, but at least you got the dub.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I enjoy you, you know, you guys. I enjoyed the show, but I wanted to say I've never been more disappointed in the early season win from the Bengals. I've been a fan since the 80s, and ever since that Super Bowl run, yes, the Super Bowl run, I've had some issues with their play calling, and they still look like the same old Bengals to me. I just feel like we couldn't have beat any other team last week. Even the teams that lost, I felt like the Bengals would have lost. I felt like the Browns were the only team that we could beat, and I feel like we're going to have another disappointing season if the play calling does not improve. I'm going to get your thoughts.
Well, wait, by the way. Like,
which Super Bowl run, 84 or 2020?
Let's not disrespect the Dolphins and the Saints, because I think they could beat them too.
Charles, you're right, though. The Browns had to do their part here, and the Browns did their part because their kicker, and you hate to, like, you know, the dude's a rookie. I understand it, but missed a field goal, missed a PAT in a one-point game, and you're at home. That just cannot happen.
Yeah, so his name is...
Yeah, I know.
Smith?
No, it's like...
Smite? I don't even know.
It's just Smith or something. It's spelled weird, but it's pronounced regular.
Yeah, I mean, the Browns deserve all of this. There's no way around it. Like, cut a veteran like Dustin Hopkins, and that's what you get. Flacco, I thought, looked okay. I mean, I know the box score ain't great, but listen... It's not like he's thrown to the best weapons in the world. There are certain plays where Jerry Jeudy looked really good. I think they found something in Harold Fannin, their tight end. So I don't know where they're going, but it does feel like we'll see Gabriel and Shador at some point too, because if they can't win that game, then the records might get bad, and then we'll start to really talk about, hey, it's time to see the other QBs.
Okay, so caller's asking about the play calling. I mean, I'm with him. Joe Flacco had 45 pass attempts.
No, he was saying the Bengals play calling.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
Okay, 23 pass attempts for Joe Burrow, 14 for 23, 113 yards, one touchdown, no picks, and took three sacks.
Well, first of all, their O-line could not protect. So they tried to establish a run. I get it. I mean, that's what you want to see, how the Bengals establish a run, protect that defense. It's going to be hard. Like, they have a thin... Burrow's got what do you call that expression? A thin needle to get through.
Thread
and a needle.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they really, like, they do not have a lot of leeway.
I mean, all you wanted was the win, I guess. You're going to play against Jacksonville next week. It's going to be
interesting. I mean, I'm sure they're favored in that game. I would be nervous because I do think the early season woes continue. Hey, by week 16, they might be really good.
Let's get to Andrew Bogish, who's got the latest. What's up, Bogues?
Guys, these headlines are sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, which protects small businesses with affordable coverage options. Get a quote today at progressivecommercial.com. Historically, it is an unbeatable combination. Every team in NFL history that had scored 40-plus points with over 235 rushing yards had won. Until last night in Buffalo, Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry combining for 239 yards, three scores on the ground, leading their Ravens to a 15-point fourth-quarter lead on the Bills. But win, they did not.
High formation here from Baltimore. Jackson under center. Going to hand it off to Henry. And he's bottled up. The ball is out. It's loose.
Go Bills.
Who's got the football? It's Buffalo ball.
Henry coughed it up with 3:06 to go. Right after Josh Allen and Keon Coleman cut the Baltimore lead to 8, Allen turned that fumble into a 1-yard TD run, but the Bills didn't convert the tying 2-point try.
Shocker.
But the defense forced a punt in just 32 seconds, and then Allen led a 66-yard drive at 86 seconds.
Ferguson sends it back. Robbins puts it down. Prater's kick is on the way. It is good, and the Bills win! The Buffalo Bills pull one out of the fire, and they win
41-40.
That's Ryan Radke.
That's one place they pulled it out of.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. There's a few places that they pulled that win out of.
Like where, Maggie?
Where the sun don't shine, Manny.
Where the good Lord split you. In Orchard Park.
I mean, honestly, at one point when Josh Allen is throwing that touchdown pass to Keon Coleman, it actually gets tipped by
a Bills teammate who thought
maybe the pass was for him.
Definitely
out of
was.
The way.
That
the way.
Play, I mean, that's when you knew something magical was happening.
What do you mean?
Allen's a magical guy. That guy, he's him. I'm sorry. He's a special player.
It's just crazy that like I watch the Giants and then I'll watch Josh Allen play and Lamar Jackson play and see competent quarterback play. And I look at the screen and it's like, oh, so that's what it's supposed to look like. It must be nice, Maggie. What's your life like?
Well, my life was that way, what you're talking about, for many, many years, where the Bills could barely get a first down. Now
like
they've got
life.
Josh Allen. But the thing this was a Lamar Jackson highlight reel game as well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was.
But you know what's so funny? Like, it's kind of business as usual for both those quarterbacks. Like, we've seen, they both, I mean, I thought Lamar looked like normal Lamar. I mean, like, that run that you were talking about in the fourth quarter.
Where he almost got sacked.
Yeah, I mean, he does that
10
all
yards
the
behind.
Time.
I know, but, like, the fact that they had two guys on him, he escapes the sack, then turns it into a 15-yard gain. That's on third down. And then the next play, Derrick Henry rips off a huge touchdown run. I mean, that was nail in the coffin stuff, and it wasn't.
Yeah, but
I don't know how.
I don't want to say this because I'm terrified of him. I saw the pictures of him. There's something about Henry. There, you know, Henry's probably going to maybe go his whole career without winning a Super Bowl. Like, you don't fumble with 3 minutes left in the game. I'm sorry. Like, that is ball security's 1, 2, 3, and 4.
I know, but he did so much to stake them to that double-digit lead.
Did you really? By the way, Henry was awesome, but like anything else the Ravens tried worked just as well. every other running back, every other receiver was moving the ball. Zay Flowers looked like,
he looked
Jerry
amazing.
Rice.
I know, but then they go to him on this weird end around where they got cute at the end of the game. I don't know.
Yeah, I just think that that was a tough loss for the Ravens because I know we got to get the updates, but I really think the number one seed came down to that game last night. Now the Bills have such a highway to getting that home field throughout the playoffs. And Baltimore's going to have to go there again in the playoffs. I mean, we're going to see now their nightmare fuel. Like, your nightmare fuel is the Chiefs as a Bills fan.
Yep.
Now I think the Bills are complete nightmare fuel. They're terrified of Josh Allen, as they should be.
John Harbaugh, by the way, says they're not going to give up after losing last night.
We'll go back to work like we always do. You know, we've been here before. This is how the NFL works. It's a tough league. You know, you play tough games in tough environments, and hopefully you learn from it and keep getting better. You get better throughout the course of the season, become the team you're going to be. It's a long journey.
Yeah, I would hope so. It's week one.
Ravens host the Browns next Sunday. You were just discussing them losing to the Bengals. Here's Joe Flacco after two picks in defeat.
It definitely hurts to feel like, you know, you could start the season 1-0 and not do that.
So just to recap some of the tidbits from this game, Flacco's second pick came with 1:24 to go. There was the missed field goal and the PAT from the kicker with the weird last name. The Browns had 186 more yards than the Bengals. They had the ball for almost 36 minutes, but they still lose by one at home. And those Bengals, after playing their starters during the preseason, finally win week one for the first time since 2021.
Embarrassing performance by us.
A fan call in says not happy about any of this. I mean,
Shut up and move on.
I guess.
I think
Zach Taylor's on a very, very hot seat. Mike McDaniel is on the hottest, obviously, because the Dolphins no-showed against the Colts in the season opener. Not what you want. But I think Zach Taylor is as well.
Yeah, but I mean, Zach Taylor, you could point to the front office at least. Like, the Dolphins they have a lot of talent. They paid a lot of money. Like, the Bengals are cheap. So, I mean,
on offense, you've got all the guys you want. And then defensively, the guy who came up with the second Joe Flacco pick, he's like one of their second round picks. What's it? TJ McDaniel? TJ Daniel?
I just think generally, like, they clearly are not comfortable investing a lot. Mike Brown said it. Like, I don't want to pay. You know, they could have paid T. Higgins earlier. They could have paid Trey Hendrickson earlier.
That's true.
Jamar Chase is expensive, but as you pointed out earlier, he's well worth it.
The L.A. Dodgers snapped their five-game losing streak yesterday afternoon, 5-2 in Baltimore. Oh. Homers 47-48 for Shohei, but the Padres were 8-1 winners at Coors Field, so L.A.'s lead atop the NL West remains a game and a half. South Florida football ranked for the first time in 7 years, number 18 after winning at Florida Saturday, and the Las Vegas Aces took care of the Chicago Sky last night, 80-66. They extend their franchise record win streak to 14 games. Goodness. That ties for the fourth longest run in WNBA history. Guys, back to you.
Yeah, his name's DJ Turner. I don't know where I got McDaniels from.
Hey, you had initials for a first name at least.
TJ McDaniels, not even close.
You get a TJ and a McDaniel. They all kind of sound.
EJ, OJ.
Well, not OJ.
Thirsty. Get the Bev.
Orange juice.
Yeah. Well, OJ McDuffie.
Oh, sure.
Sure.
Good player.
Of course.
Sounds good, too.
Wasn't there a Bills player by the name of that name, too? OJ?
Still in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, he is.
Mm. Oh, what about a former USC legend?
Awkward.
OJ Mayo.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
I see what you did there.
Former Milwaukee Buck, of course. How can you forget?
Oh, I didn't even make, I didn't do that on purpose.
Sure
all
did.
Right, Simpson also went to USC.
Yeah.
Okay. We want to hear from you. You want to talk about your team yesterday. Let's go. 888-710-4ISN. Micah Parsons makes his big debut in Green Bay yesterday, and a pressure on Jared Goff that forced an interception early and then a sack late. He made his presence known in just 27 snaps. We'll get into it next.
I don't know his name.
Micah Parsons made his debut in Green Bay yesterday. Big win over the Detroit Lions, Pearl. They had been 1-6 versus Detroit in the last seven tries. So this was a huge win for Green Bay. Micah Parsons played 29 snaps. He got pressure in the red zone on Jared Goff early, then closing and closed him out with a big sack late in the game. I mean, the Green Bay defense was already trending in a really great direction, and Parsons obviously is adding to that in a positive way. And I was also very concerned after watching this game about the Detroit Lions. I mean, Detroit was just a wagon last year. Their offense was so good, and their defense, until they got hurt, was ferocious. And I didn't see any of that yesterday.
No.
Very little.
No. I mean, one thing, Jared Goff had this high completion percentage. He had no time to get the ball downfield. There was no big plays. We didn't really see Jameson Williams. They still have Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Right.
Three incredible offensive players, so you can't give up on them. But I thought the defense looked too conservative. I feel like the new coordinator is trying to take the mantle of Ben Johnson as a run game guy, but the run game didn't scare me at all.
Let's go to the phones. You're welcome to weigh in on Micah Parsons, and especially for those Cowboy fans, how you feeling now after watching Parsons in his debut? First, Michelle is in Florida. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. I'm wondering if you guys can comment on the kickers from yesterday. I think the Browns would have won the game if they would have made the field goal. And then I think he missed it twice. The Buccaneers missed it twice. And the Niners kicker also missed it twice.
Mm. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, Michelle, it was an adventure yesterday for kicking.
Well, you know, it's funny. Because I was actually thinking, these kickers are insanely good from long distance. So you have, it's the best of times and the worst of times for kickers. Because I think we're going to break every record in the book this year. I mean, Chris Boswell's 60-yarder to win it was 10 yards good. You see Brandon Aubrey in Dallas. A guy in the preseason hit it 70. The all-time high is 66 by Justin Tucker. I will guarantee you that will go down. But that record will go down this year.
It will get broken.
But let me ask you this question. Does something about that mean that we're going to get the flip side where guys are going to miss easy ones? I don't know how that logic works, but it does feel like easy ones are more adventurous than usual. Maybe it's just week one.
Yeah, probably week one. You had some jitters because you got some rookies out there. For me, if you're asking who is really should be very concerned about the kicking situation, it's actually the 49ers, because we've been down this nightmare before. You know that Jake Moody, for as much as he did come up with a big kick in overtime at the Super Bowl, he is not reliable.
Mm.
And it changes how the 49ers have to operate in the red zone. The 49ers are another team running the offense the way they wanted to run it. You look up, they've got no points. And some of it is because of those red zone foibles. And I think Moody is the one I'd be worried about the most. I wasn't expecting much from the Browns this year to begin with. So you want to cut your kicker, cut him. I mean,
you might want a quarterback next year, so you might want to keep him.
If you want to lose, you got the extra first round pick. I don't know what the Browns are really thinking about. And to be honest, like the Younghoe Koo, him missing that 44 yarder, which would have sent a very entertaining game, Tampa Bay and Atlanta, into overtime. I was just stunned. He never misses.
He missed by a mile too. Unbelievable.
But he had doinked one earlier that went in, and I'm like, this Koo guy, even the doinks are going in, but then he missed the 44-yarder. So, yeah.
But was, we had a 60-yarder this week. We had a 59, a 58, and the Harrison Butker hit one that was in Brazil. Yeah. Like, generally, the guys are really dangerous from a long way away. The new Ravens kicker looks like he's got more leg than anyone. I'm like, how do they find these guys?
Now, the most impressive kicking performance, though, I think you have to give it last night to Matt Prater. I mean, I know the guy's 41 years old, but he's literally on a red-eye flight on Thursday, arrives in Buffalo on Friday, and now you find yourself. Now, he wasn't being asked to make really long kicks, but you find yourself in the midst of Buffalo having this unreal comeback against the Ravens in the season opener, and it came down to his 34-yarder.
Well, wasn't he?
That's pressure.
Was he kicking in the Frank Reich comeback in 92?
He might have been, because that is the 62-year-oldest 41-year-old I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, he's
that
got dude. Some salt and pepper in there. Also, his legs look so skinny, but whatever, man. He got the job done.
When's Tyler Bass come back? You want him back, or would you rather have Mr. Prater?
I was thinking about that. I'm like, if he kicks another couple game winners, let's say the beginning of the season just sort of is like that, where you end up needing him.
But I mean, the other contenders in the AFC got a bunch of guys who can hit. 55 is like a layup for them.
No, I know. And they gave Tyler Bass all this money, so they'll end up keeping him, but thought did cross my mind. Big Friendly is our pal in California. What's up, Friendly? Good morning.
Good morning, Magsy Malone. EJ, the Bionic EP, Daddy Cool, it's time to belly up to the bar. Little Big Swifty and Manny Wapo, good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Friendly, you had to sweat that one out yesterday with your Rams. Whew.
I had to sweat it out, but our kicker didn't miss a kick. And that Texans kicker needs to be talked about more, because he hit over 250-yarders yesterday.
Yep.
Now, real quick, Daddy Cool, because I'm going to get to Magsy Malone here in a minute.
Yep.
Now, last year, Daddy Cool, my Rams went 0-2 to you, and I lost a bet to you that I paid. Hint, hint, Magsy.
I know. Now, I'm Daddy looking Cool, at the chain. I'll do it.
Next Monday, Magsy. Next Monday, sweetheart. The 15th, second Monday of football season.
Right.
So, Daddy Cool, the Rams play the Eagles again, I believe. Is it week 4 or week 5?
We will check. I don't know. I don't like where this is going already.
Can we get another a small jersey bet in? Because I think you're going to be in a toddler tee jersey after week 4, this bet.
So what would
I'm
I have to do?
I'm very confident in my – you would have to – like, I remember I took a picture in the very small Eagle sweater that I'm going to be sending you guys very soon. I say we do the same bet. If I lose, I will take another picture. But if you lose, you have to come to work in a small Rams jersey. And I want to see those Daddy Cool muscles popping.
No,
and
you don't.
We laughed and no, we you laughed. Don't.
Well, okay. Well,
get some creatine in this guy.
Is Jalen Carter getting suspended?
Here's the thing. Daddy Cool, they both should have been thrown out the game. Dak purposely walked through the huddle, passed people to spit at that man.
Yeah.
So
I'm not relitigating that, but it's week 3.
Yeah,
is he going to be available for this game? I
think it's week 4 we play, because we play the Niners week 4.
But it's week 3.
We play the Niners week 3, so I think we play the Eagles week 4.
No, I have it in front of me. It's week 3. But, I'll do it. I don't like the Eagles' chances, but I will do it.
We were talking in the break, Big Friendly. Great to hear from you. Thank you. Congrats on your Rams. Do the Rams have the best defense in the NFL? Defensive line shut out Houston in the second half yesterday. Final score was 14-9. I mean, that was really impressive what they have on defense.
Houston's defensive line
was also impressive.
The Rams, I think the Packers, the Packers have so many first-round picks on their defensive line as well. The Giants have a crazy good defensive line, but it's kind of useless.
Yeah, ha, ha, ha.
I mean...
No, it doesn't. The Ravens and the Bills.
We know, because they combined for 81 points last night. We'll get to that next.